Well, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Last Sunday night I told you that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And this is an inner adjustment of attitude that the Spirit of God makes in every child of God when they come to Him. You know, one of the first things that I was aware of when the Lord saved my soul was the love of God was poured out in my heart. I felt a love like I'd never known before. And that love that God put in me, it put down the rebellion that had been in me. I had a rebellious attitude. But when God poured that love in me, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And that love of God put down that rebellion in me. One thing that happened to me immediately, I was 13 years old, was I submitted to the authority of my Father. And I realized I had a love for Him. From that point on, I had a love for my dad. And submitted to the authority of my dad because God put in me that love of God. Hallelujah. And, you know, it's amazing what the Spirit of God does in us when He begins to do that work inside of us, making us a new creature in Christ Jesus, transforming our thinking, transforming our attitudes. And brother, I'm telling you, He don't just scratch the surface in your life. He goes into the deepest recesses of your soul and transforms you as a person, changes your way of living, and changes your attitude in life as well. And all of a sudden we have the love of God, the joy of the Lord, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I want to make this clear as I go along that the fruit of the Spirit in your life may not be mature in the very beginning. It's sort of like an apple on an apple tree. That apple may be just about that big, and if you were to bite into it, you wouldn't find it very tasty. But it's an apple just the same, and it's maturing as time goes on. And so it is in the life of every Christian. I want you to understand that these fruit of the Spirit is not something you pick and choose. If you are a Christian, the fruit of the Spirit is in your life. It may not be fully mature, but it is there if you are a Christian. And the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. And that word long-suffering means to be long-tempered. It's the very opposite of being short-tempered. Now, I know that people have different length fuses, naturally. Some people have a short fuse. Some people have a long fuse. I'm talking about just in the natural. There are some people whose temper is quick, and some people whose temper is not so quick. And it's just that way by nature. But we're not talking about nature here. We're talking about the work of the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God is working in us to produce long-temperedness in every one of us. This word long-suffering is sometimes translated in the New Testament as patience. Brother Paul testified about patience tonight. And sometimes this word that is translated long-suffering is sometimes translated patience. And so what God is working in us by the power of the Spirit of God, He is producing in us patience. Now, this patience has a double application. Sometimes it is patience in our dealings with our fellow man. So that when we are dealing with others, God gives us patience in dealing with other people. And the Bible tells us, let me see, I've got a couple of scriptures I want to read to you about this. Let's look first of all in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Well, I'll read verses 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. All right, this is the attitude that keeps the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. All lowliness and meekness with long suffering. So this long suffering is an attitude toward other people in our life. Notice also in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says this, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." And this scripture is in the context of putting on that new man. And that new man is long-suffering. He's patient toward other people. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be patient toward somebody that loves you and never rubs you the wrong way. But you have to have patience toward people that are difficult to deal with. And you know, the fruit of the Spirit is something that God does in us in order to make the relationships between other people right. And this is something that we have to have. In dealing with other people, we have to have long suffering. This word long suffering describes the attitude of a nurse working with a patient that's difficult to deal with. A patient in which this nurse is trying to help this person get well. They won't take instructions. They won't do what's told. You're trying to nurse them to health. You're trying to save their life. And they won't take instructions, and they won't do what you're trying to get them to do. So the nurse don't say, okay, die then. Instead, they keep on working with them and keep on trying to get them to do right. Keep on trying to get them to take the medicine. Keep on trying to get them to take the instructions so that they'll get better. This is the kind of attitude that long suffering is describing. And you know, we have to have that kind of attitude in the house of God. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, as a preacher, if you're going to preach the gospel and deal with people, you got to have long suffering. If you don't have long suffering, I'm telling you, you just ain't going to be able to deal with people if you don't have long suffering. And this is patience in dealing with difficult people. There are some people that won't take the prescription. Some people that won't take the medicine. Some people that won't do what they need to do in order to get well. And so what do you do? Do you say, die then. Go on and die. Or do you say, oh God, help me to keep on dealing with this soul. Help me, God, not to give up on this soul. Help me, God, to keep on giving instructions. Help me, God, not to toss aside that soul and disregard that soul. But help me to have patience in dealing with souls. You have to have that sometimes in dealing with your children. Because sometimes your children are difficult to deal with. Sometimes your children won't listen to you. Sometimes they won't take instructions. Sometimes it seems like they're determined to die. Looks like they're determined to go to hell. Seems like they don't have any concern for what you have to tell them. So what are we going to do with them? I'm telling you, this is what the Spirit of God does in us. The Spirit of God gives us long suffering toward difficult people. So that we don't detach ourselves from them and say, all right, go to hell then. All right, go on and die. But the Spirit of God gives to us a spirit, an attitude that helps us to stay attached to them, that keeps on praying for them and keeps on trying to help them, even when they do not want your help. Is this right? This long suffering. This is what the Spirit of God does in us. He gives us long suffering. He helps us in the house of God. Now, I'll tell you something. Not every child of God is easy to get along with. And they are children of God. And they're not easy to get along with. And you may think that about me. You know, because we all have different personalities. We all can't help that. I mean, you can't help that. You can tell a child's personality. I could tell my children's personalities when they were 2 and 3 years old. Their personalities were coming out when they were just children, small children, their personalities begin to show up. And our personalities are given to us by God. Now, I know that there are certain factors that shape those personalities somewhat, but brother, you can't change genes. You just can't change genes. And I'm telling you, those genes have an effect on your personality. Oh, yeah. And older some people get, the more they get like their mother and their daddy. You know, you might say to your husband, you're just like your daddy. You're getting more and more like your daddy. Or he might say to his wife, you're getting more and more like your mother. Well, that's just natural. The genes are there. And the personality, we're given our personality. And, you know, some personalities just click and do good together, and some personalities don't. And that don't mean people are not right with God. It don't mean that they're not saved. It just means that our personalities are different, and our personalities may not click just too good. You know, do you know that? Have you found that out? Have you discovered that in your personal experience with God, that there are good people that it's difficult for you to get along with? Oh, yeah. If you haven't discovered it, I'm telling you, you're going to find it out. And don't just throw them people out because they're hard to get along with. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to say, well, that person's hard to get along with for me to get along with. Now, somebody else may be getting along with them just fine. Right? But I've got problems getting along with them. Don't throw them people aside just because you have difficulty getting along with them. Don't just dismiss them as if they have no religion just because your personality clashes with them. I'm telling you, brother, we have to be careful in this area. And one reason we have to be careful in this area is because the kind of attitude we have toward other people, how quickly we cut off others. You see, when we face God, we'll face the same thing in the judgment that we have dealt out in our judgment. So whenever we face God, whatever attitude we have shown toward others, that attitude will come back to haunt us in the day of judgment. So the Bible tells us, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so we have to be careful that we don't just cut somebody off real quick because our personalities may clash, and we may not see things just eye to eye. We may not, you know, do things just alike. And I'm telling you, there are some of us that just don't do things just alike. I ain't going to use you, Brother Garland, tonight. But there's some of us just don't do everything just alike. Some of us, you know, some of us are just headstrong. And some of us are laid back. And some of us, we have an outgoing personality. And some of us have an introvert. And some of us are extroverts. And I don't know all these psychological things. But anyway, we're different. We're all different. And that don't mean we're not saved. You understand? That don't mean we're not saved just because our personalities are different. And so we have to learn to get along with people that may be very difficult for us. And this is why the Spirit of God is working in us long suffering, so that we are patient one with another. But now this patience not only has to do with our relationships with each other, this patience also is demonstrated in how we deal with difficult circumstances in our life. So that we have to be long-suffering in the midst of persecutions and tribulations and trials. We have to be willing to suffer long. We have to be willing to keep on praying and being faithful to God under pressure. And you know, everybody's going to be tried at some point in life. But this is a quality that refuses to give up under adversity. The Bible tells us in James chapter 5, if you want to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5, We'll read a passage of Scripture there. James chapter 5 and verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now this word patience is the same as long suffering. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, the long suffering of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. All right, so these prophets, these that have spoken in the name of the Lord, he said, look at them for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. We count them happy which endure, that is, endure under pressure. You have heard of the patience of Job. You have seen the end of the Lord, that he's very pitiful and of tender mercy. So long-suffering, this is what the Spirit of God's doing in us now. Long-suffering has to do not only with our relationships with each other, but it is demonstrated in under pressure when we are faithful, when everything is going wrong. Hallelujah. You know, this shows up. Now listen, this shows up when things are going bad in your life and it's church time and you're under pressure and you're under trial and you're under tribulation and you know you ought to be in the house of God. You know you ought to pray. You know you ought to read the Bible. And you got a choice. Will I go to church? All these things, bad things happen to me. I believe I'll just stay at home. I believe I just won't pray. I believe I'll just quit reading my Bible. You understand? But this long suffering keeps us holding to the line and keeping on doing what is right, even when we don't feel like it, when the devil is really putting the pressure on us. But we're just going to hold to the line. We may not feel like it. We may not be on the mountaintop. We may not feel like shouting. We may not feel like doing anything but crying. But we're going to do what's right because the Spirit of God is working inside of us, producing long suffering in us. Oh, yeah. Disappointment's coming. You've been praying about a situation and perhaps the very opposite thing happened from what you was praying about. Well, what are we going to do? Are we just going to say, well, God disappointed me, and so I'm just going to throw it up in God's face. I'm going to blame God. I'm going to just, you know, go out and get me a beer. Some people do that. That's the way some people do when they get under pressure. They're just, I'll just go get me a cigarette. I'll just do something to let God know that I'm dissatisfied with Him. This is the power of the Holy Ghost, brother. The power of the Holy Ghost holds us faithful. The power of the Holy Ghost keeps us praying, keeps us faithful to the house of God, and keeps us living right. Hey, one person said, I believe I'll just go out and get me a television. Hey, you ain't going to punish God. You're going to punish yourself. And the thing to do is just be faithful. Keep on being faithful. When you're under pressure and temptations and trials are heavy upon you, this is long suffering. Then he said, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And that word gentleness means kindness. Oh, do you know that holiness is not harshness? Did you know those two things are not synonymous? That holiness is not harshness, but holiness is demonstrated by kindness. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And what I'm talking to you about tonight, when I'm talking to you about the fruit of the Spirit, I'm talking to you about holiness. This is holiness. Holiness is not just, wearing long sleeves or wearing long breeches or wearing long dresses or wearing long hair, and all of that goes with it. But I'm telling you, there's more to it than that. And if that's all we've got, we really don't have holiness. If that's all we've got, this is holiness. The fruit of the Spirit is holiness. It's the character of Jesus Christ in us. And so this fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. It is kindness. Kindness demonstrated in our actions toward other people. When we are reviled, we don't revile back again. When somebody is talking bad to us, ugly to us, we don't talk ugly and bad back to them. We demonstrate kindness. When we are dealing with people who have mistreated us, we do not deal with them with harshness. We deal with them in kindness. Now, it's easy for anybody. You know, the devil can be good to people that's good to him. And the Bible says that the publicans love each other. And it's easy to be good to people that's good to you. But here's where the fruit of the Spirit is born out. Whenever somebody has done you wrong, but yet you demonstrate kindness and gentleness in that relationship, this is the power of the Spirit of God working in you. I'm talking about a supernatural religion. This is not a religion that you can just decide on your own, I'm going to do this. You've got to have some heavenly connections, brother. You've got to have the Spirit of God working in you. This is the fruit of the Spirit of God working in you. Kindness, goodness is an attribute of liberality toward other people, especially to those who do not deserve it. Amen. Goodness. This is an attribute of God. God is good. Do you not know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Leads us to repentance? What do you mean? I'm talking about sinners. God's being good to sinners. He makes His sun to rise on them. He makes the rain to fall on their crops. He feeds them. He blesses them every day. God is good to people that do not deserve His goodness. And brother, this is the fruit of the Spirit in us, and it causes us to be liberal toward people that do not deserve it. You know, if we're only good to people that deserve it, that's not Christianity. That's not the Spirit of Christ. That's not the work of the Spirit of God. But this causes us to be liberal to people that we feel inside of us, they don't deserve this. Brother, we didn't deserve God's kindness and goodness to us either. Did we? I'm telling you, God was good to us, and we didn't deserve it. And don't deserve it right now. But God continues to be good to us. And He says, now I'm going to produce in you the same kind of goodness that I'm demonstrating to other people. I want you to have that same liberal attitude demonstrated in deeds toward other people. The same attitude that God has toward us. Now let's just look at this just a moment. I want us to understand that God's not asking anything out of us that He hasn't demonstrated toward us. God has been long-suffering toward every one of us here tonight. I'm telling you, He was long-suffering to me before I got saved. I'm glad. So glad God didn't cut me off. I'm glad He kept on dealing with my heart until I got saved. Now, He didn't have to do that. He could have cut me off after He dealt with me the first time, and I didn't pray. He could have cut me off, but He didn't do that. And I was a difficult person to deal with before I came to Christ. You know, I did my own thing. I was rebellious against God, and my rebellion against God was demonstrated in my rebellion against my parents. And yet God was merciful unto me and long-suffering to me. And so God is not asking out of us anything that He has not demonstrated toward us. Long-suffering. And brother, I'm going to go a little further than that. God has demonstrated long-suffering to me even after I've been saved. There's been failures on my part, and there are things in my past since I have become a Christian that I'm ashamed of. I would not want you to know about it, the failures that I have made since I became a Christian. I'm ashamed of that. It wasn't God's fault, it was my fault. But God has been long-suffering to me and forgiven me of my failures. And there are some things that I've done since I was a Christian that I look back and I just can't understand how God was so merciful and long-suffering to me. It looked like He'd have just cut me off and just forgot about me. But He didn't do that. He kept on dealing with me. He kept on saying, "Son, don't lay down and quit. Get up and go again." I'm glad. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. That God didn't just quit dealing with me, but instead was merciful to me and long-suffering. Hallelujah. You know, every young Christian is like a little child who is just learning to walk. And you know, I remember when my little sister Ruth was learning to walk, and we had a concrete floor, and she had fallen on that floor so much and busted her head on that floor. It just hurt me that, you know, sometimes she'd fall on that floor. And she got to where she was ready to walk, but she would get up and she'd take a few steps and she'd sit down. She's scared. And she'd try again a step or two and she'd sit down because she's scared. I knew she could walk. So I got in there and I started working with her. "Ruth, okay now, Ruth, you're going to walk. You start here, you come right here." And after a little while, I got her to walking. And, you know, she'd still, maybe at times, she'd sit down. She'd fall down or sit down and make faltering steps, but she's getting there. And, brother, it's that way in people's lives that we deal with. People make faltering steps sometimes as young Christians. Don't kill them. Don't throw them out. Don't just cut them off. Be like God. Be like God's been towards you. Be merciful, long-suffering toward other people. And God has been gentle toward us, hasn't He not? God has been gentle, kind to us. I mean, God could have been harsh to us, but God has been kind to us. And so God says, "I want you to be kind to other people. I want to take the rough edge off of your dealings with other people." Is that right? I want to dull the sharpness of the tone you use toward other people. I want to take the sharp edge off of how you deal with other people. And I want you to deal with other people like I'm dealing with you. I want you to be kind. And not only do I want you to be kind, but I want you to be good. I want you to be liberal in giving, in doing for other people that may not deserve. You feel like they don't deserve it. But just remember that God is liberal towards you. And He blesses you. And I'm telling you, there have been times that God's poured out blessings upon me in the house of God. And I walked away astonished and said, "Lord, I didn't deserve that. No way I deserve that. I come in the house of God feeling like a failure. And here I am blessed by God. God has been good to me even when I didn't deserve it." And you know, God is that way toward every one of us. And He says, "Now I want you to be that way toward other people. I want you to demonstrate goodness, a liberal attitude, even to those who do not deserve it." Now, you know, the Spirit of God is going to do this in every one of us if we yield to His working. You can resist the Holy Ghost. You can resist the working of the Spirit, but not always. You're not always going to do that. If you resist Him, you're going to grieve Him. If you keep on grieving Him, He's going to leave because He's sensitive. But if you will yield to the Spirit of God, if you will yield to the dealings of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, He's going to make every one of us after the same mold, the mold of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the alternative is this. While Sister Judy comes to the piano, the alternative is this. You're either going to fit the mold He has for you, or you are going to be made in the mold of the world. You're either going to deal with people according to the will of God and according to the working of the Spirit of God, or you're going to deal with them according to the way the world deals. You're going to be in one mold or the other. So, if we are not willing for the Spirit of God to do this in us, if we're not willing for Him to make us long-suffering, gentle, and good, then we'll deal with people with a short temper. And we'll deal with them harshly instead of kindly. And we'll toss people aside as unworthy of anything good from us if we don't yield to the Spirit of God. And there's a lot of people in the house of God across this country that still go by the name of Christ, but you couldn't tell it by their attitude, and you couldn't tell it by their actions. And I pray that God will help us tonight. I have preached to the people of God, and I pray that the Spirit of God will help us tonight to be vessels yielded to the working of God's Spirit so that He makes us after the image of Christ Jesus. This is the character of Christ: long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. It makes such an attitude that workers respect their boss man. Boss men respect their workers. It produces such an attitude that it causes the preacher not to use the pulpit just to beat people over the head, but to show the love of Christ even in the things he says. And you know, I haven't always done that. Some of you have known me long enough to know I haven't always done that. And, you know, God showed me one day. He said, I want you not only to preach about Jesus Christ, I want you to demonstrate Christ while you're preaching about Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes in the pulpit we can preach about Christ. We can preach about the truth and do it in such a way that we deny the very thing we're preaching about. But this, I'm telling you, brother, this will do something for you when you just yield to the Spirit of God. Say, Lord, take me. Mold me. Cleanse me from everything that's not like Jesus Christ. Brother Paul was testifying tonight. He said, I want the Lord to take out of me everything that's not right. This is the sanctifying work of Christ. You know, the positive thing about sanctification is He's producing these fruits in us. The negative aspect of sanctification is He's cutting out of us those things that are contrary to this. You understand? So that there's this positive and this negative going on in our lives. Oh, I want to be like Jesus, don't you? I want Him to make me like Jesus Christ. Sometimes this is not easy to submit to. But if you will yield to it, I promise you, if you will yield to the Spirit of God, He's not going to do you any damage. He's going to do a great work in your life. Oh, it'll show up in your home, show up in your dealings with your wife, your husband, your children even. They'll detect the working of the Spirit of God in your dealings with your children. Hallelujah. Well, I've said enough. I want us to come to the altar tonight. I want us to pray. I want us to say, Lord, I want You to help me to yield to the working of the Spirit of God in my life. And I want You to produce that fruit in me that's characteristic of the Son of God. Let's stand together. Altars are open.